You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Basically, in life, we all want the same things. We want care, understanding, empathy, and appreciation. One avenue that will take us there is to become master communicators. Most of us have little or no training how best to communicate in ways that foster deep trust and intimacy. So we might ask the question, is there hope for us to master the skill of communication without having to get a PhD? Our guest today enthusiastically encourages us with a resounding yes. Yes, we can become masters in communication. Over many decades, he has reached millions of people around the world to help them develop a superpower of caring, understanding, and empathy through a series of specific and effective exercises. Join us as we explore the skill of communicating well for a deeper, more profound connection with others with our guest, Jonathan Robinson. Jonathan Robinson is a psychotherapist, workshop leader, and keynote speaker. His work has been translated into 47 languages, and he's made numerous appearances on The Oprah Show, CNN, and many other national TV shows, and speaks regularly to Fortune 500 companies. He has spent more than 40 years studying the most practical and powerful methods for personal and professional development, and is known for providing powerful and immediately effective tools and techniques that lead to more love and less conflict. He's the author of many books, including Life's Big Questions, Shortcuts to Success, The Absolute Best Ways to Master Your Money, Time, Health, and Relationships, Find Happiness Now, 50 Shortcuts to Bring More Joy, Balance, and Love into Your Life, The Technology of Joy, the 101 best apps, gadgets, tools, and supplements for feeling more delight in your life, and More Love, Less Conflict, a communication playbook for couples. Join us for the next hour as we explore methods for experiencing a deeper, more profound connection with the significant people in our lives with our guest, Jonathan Robinson. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Jonathan, welcome.
Great to be with you, Justine.
Oh, it's so great to have you. This is a great subject. You know, oftentimes in New Dimensions, we refer to relationship as a conscious crucible. Mm-hmm. And so in your experience, what do you find is the most challenging and difficult part in a committed relationship?
Well, when you're in a long-term relationship, there's always two issues that create problems. And it's always the same two issues. It's blame and lack of understanding. And, you know, I've been married about 20 years. And I've never once, upon telling my wife everything she was doing wrong, did she respond by saying, "Oh, yeah, now I see what you're talking about. I'm going to have to change. Thank you for showing the errors of my ways." That's never happened. You know, blame never works. But that's the way we're taught to speak to each other in relationships in this culture. So the good news is when you learn how to speak without blame, you can create a lot more love and a lot less conflict.
Well, easier said than done. And I know that you give us some guidance there. And one of the guides that you give us that occurs to me is to know the target. You talk about knowing the target. So if something's bugging us about our relationship or something mm-hmm. happening in our relationship that's really bugging us, how would you suggest that we hold that or look at that might be more constructive than just blaming?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you know what you're after and if you know what your partner's after, you have a good map. You have a good chance of hitting the target if you know what it is. If you don't know what your target is, you're not going to hit it. So most people in general are after more care, understanding, and empathy. But if you know specifically what you want, for example, just filling in the sentence, "Right now, what I'm really wanting is," you know, if you can tell your partner that, that's good information, or asking them, "What are you really wanting?" Because, you know, blame and self-righteousness and all the stuff we get into, that does not lead to love and intimacy and connection. So if you're wanting intimacy, for example, the word intimacy has the instructions in it, "into me see." When you reveal stuff about yourself, you create that intimate connection, that "into me see." And I think in this day and age where there's so many distractions and so much busyness that people want intimate connection more than ever, but they don't necessarily know how to get there quickly, consistently, and easily.
I want to ask you, when you say we want care, understanding, and empathy, what's the difference between understanding and empathy?
Understanding is more intellectual. Like, I get how you're looking at this. Empathy is more active in showing you that I really feel your feelings. So, you know, I can say I understand, but you might not feel that understood until I say, "That must have really hurt when I said that. Boy, I'm really sorry that you got hurt by that." That's empathy. And the good news is people want it so much that you can be poor at giving empathy and still shine because so few people are good at it. You know, I often use the example of Oprah. One of the times I was on her show, I said, "How did you become so, you're currently the most loved person on the planet. How did that happen?" And I don't know if you know her background, but she was put into the retarded class at school. She was gang raped at 10. She was raped again at 14, had a stillborn child, never lived in a house that even had a bathroom. And, you know, 20 years later, she's the most loved person on the planet. So I asked her, "How'd you do that?" And she said, "It's all about showing your care, understanding, and empathy. And if you do that, you just shine because things work out really well."
Well, I didn't know that background of Oprah. That's profound.
Yeah, it's intense.
Intense. So that goes to the question, no matter what our background is, a lot of times we want to blame that background that we've come up with as an excuse. There's a place in your book and in the work that you do, you talk about taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And probably at some point in her life, she said, "Well, I can't change other things. I can't change my background, but I can change myself right now and take responsibility for right now. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. In fact, I asked her, you know, what made the change? And she said, I realized I didn't have really anything going for me other than that I cared about people. So I made a vow that I would show people that I care about them. And then she turned to her studio audience, which had just given her a standing ovation for walking in the room. And she said, seems like it turned out pretty good, don't you think?
Wow. I just have to have you tell this wonderful story about when you had a basketball game with a fellow who was a very good, much better basketball player than you were, and how that worked for you.
Well, it was a good lesson for me because in my freshman year, my roommate was the best basketball player in the school, and he'd always challenge me to a game of basketball because he wanted to put me in my place. Because I was always a very good student. He was always a good basketball player. So I figured, you know, brain can win over brawn. So I said, I'll do it on one condition. I get to bring any 1 ounce gadget and place it anywhere I want on the court. And he said, yeah, whatever turns you on. Okay. You know, so we go out to the court. I take out my little gadget, which was a blindfold. I put it in a strategic location, namely over his eyes, and I said, let the games begin. So we played basketball. Now, admittedly, it was still a little close, but I beat one of the best basketball players in America because, you know, if you throw enough things in the right general direction, sometimes something, you know, goes through. So, I was throwing a bunch of things at the basket, and every now and then I would score. He was throwing things in all random directions, and I beat him. And that's a real good metaphor for life, that if you're aiming for love, if you're aiming for understanding, even if you're not that skilled, you'll get there. But if you're aiming for making your partner wrong, and you're aiming for showing people how wonderful you are, or how stupid they are, well, then that is probably what you will get, and you'll get the retaliation for that.
So that also reminds me of the idea of attitude, that attitude is actually probably more important than the words we throw out.
Yeah.
And I know you talk about that. So can you reflect on that?
Yeah, I have a funny story about that. I talk about there's certain attitudes like curiosity or generosity or taking responsibility, but one of them is gratitude. And the story there is I had a friend who came back from India and said they got this magical mantra that helped him to feel grateful for his wife and family. And I said, you know, could you tell me what that is? And he said, no, you'll have to go there yourself. So I traveled 18,000 miles. I get to India. Have you ever been to India? It's not easy.
I have. Yeah. It's intense.
It's intense to get there. So I finally talk to the guru and I say, would you tell me what this magical mantra is that helped me feel grateful for my wife and family? And he said, yes, come on close. And in an Indian accent says, in order to feel grateful for everything, you must say these words. Whenever you see your wife or family, say, thank you. And I said, that's it? I traveled 18,000 miles to get thank you? Are you kidding me? He said, that's it? He said, no, that's it is a mantra you have been using. That makes you feel like you never have enough. My mantra is thank you. And it really works. If you say it from your heart, your mate will get that you really are grateful, and gratitude is a really powerful way to feel connected to someone.
I'm here with Jonathan Robinson. He's the author of More Love, Less Conflict, A Communication Playbook for Couples. My name is Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. Thank you. I'm here with Jonathan Robinson. He's the author of many books, including More Love, Less Conflict, A Communication Playbook for Couples. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his extensive website, morelovelessconflict.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. Jonathan, we were talking about attitude, and you mentioned some of the attitudes, effective attitudes like curiosity, generosity, gratitude. You just mentioned responsibility. And I'm just wondering, in working with significant others, it's important, as you have pointed out, to know their style of communication. And I think that that's important because we talk, we communicate with someone in the way that we communicate, and we don't even think about, well, maybe they don't get it because their style is so different. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, to make it really simple, let's say there's two styles. There's what I call more a feminine style, which might be more focused on not being linear and being more focused on empathy and feelings. And then on the other end of the continuum is a style that could be called more results-oriented. And a lot of times there's attraction between these two people because they both know they're missing something. But then when they get together, they don't really know how to talk to each other because in a way, they're each speaking a different language. So you have to learn in communication how to speak other people's language if you want to be successful, whether it be successful in love or business. So I'm more result-oriented, but I've had to learn how to be more listening, more empathetic, more understanding, more or less linear when talking with my wife. And she's had to learn how to do the opposite with me. So when you both speak English, you might think that you're speaking the same language, but really you're often speaking very different languages.
So how do we, well, give us some advice of how to bridge that gap?
Well, you probably know which side of that continuum you're on. So I have chapters in the More Love, Less Conflict book about how to speak more of this masculine language. Like, so what did you accomplish today? What was the highlight of your day? Praising, say, a guy who is accomplishing something because that's where he feels confident. Now, with a woman, you know, when women speak about their feelings and their days, men usually want to fix them.
Yes.
That's the, we got to get a result. You gave me a problem. Here's the result, you know? Whereas what women are really looking for in general is they want to feel understood and they want to have their feelings validated. Men don't know what that is. So even if a man can do that a little bit, it looks like he has a superpower. And what that sounds like is just saying stuff like, it sounds like you had a really stressful day. That must have been really frustrating and hard. So it's not rocket science, but the few people who can do that do shine because that is a very basic need to feel understood and to have our feelings validated, even if we don't agree with their underlying issue.
So what I see that being is it's so powerful in that moment when we feel we have truly been received. Just received.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, I've told this story, I think, before in New Dimensions about when we were doing a move and I was just distraught and it was the end of, I was tired and I called up a friend and I just started crying. And I mean, really ripping it off, really just sobbing over the phone, just sobbing. And this was a guy on the other end, and Jody just sat on the other end of that phone and received me. He didn't fix me. He didn't say, oh, Justine, what can I do to help or anything? He just allowed this kind of container that contained my tears and held my tears with me.
Yeah.
And then when my crying was over, I felt so good. I felt so relieved.
It's so healing. And, you know, for the people who don't know how to do that for people who need that, it's a shame. Because if your partner can do that for you, you can cycle through these things really quickly. Whereas if they can't do that for you, you're like stuck.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that. And so that's really important. What about if we are working through these things? We want more love. We want empathy. We want understanding and all of this from our partner. And we want it. We're enthusiastic about going through some of these techniques, mm-hmm. which you have just umpteen million, not million, but lots of them in this book, and they're all wonderful. First of all, I want to pause for a second and say, as I was going through this book, Jonathan, I thought, oh, I wish I had had this 40 years ago. Mm. You know, I was married to Michael for 45 years. And, you know, you can always use this kind of help, no matter how good your relationship is. And so I just want to say that. But going back to the idea mm-hmm. of wanting to use some of these techniques, but you have a partner who is unwilling to do it. You call it flying solo.
Yeah.
Is it possible to have better communication without having a willing partner?
It absolutely is. I want to acknowledge that it is harder. But, you know, in dancing, it does take two to tango. But I have seen that when one partner gets really good at communication, it always impacts the other partner in a positive way. So, you know, if I ask you a question, a good question, you don't have to be the world's greatest communicator to answer that question. Like, what are you really wanting, Justine? Or what are you feeling now? Help me to understand you. If I say that to you, you'll probably be able to respond to that. You know, you don't need to go to therapy to respond to it. You don't need to read the book to respond to it. You're feeling my love. You're feeling my curiosity. And you'll feel the safety and be able to answer that question. So what I've seen is that unlike therapy, where it really does take two people to be committed for good results, it really only takes one really good communicator to change the whole dynamic in the relationship. And so I have a lot of methods in there for, you know, if your partner's not interested in this, try this, try asking them this. You know, take something like a really simple exercise. The number one predictor of how happy couples are is how many appreciations they say to each other. Now, you can just start saying one appreciation a day to your partner, and that's going to have momentous impact on your relationship. Now, don't tell my wife this, and hopefully she won't hear this interview, but I get caught up in work sometimes, so I actually have Siri on my iPhone remind me to do an appreciation every day. And it's always sincere, because I have a lot of things about her I appreciate. And when I fill in the sentence, you know, something I noticed today about you that I really appreciate is, and then I say something, she almost always says something back, and it gets the love flowing. So that's not rocket science. That's pretty easy to do. And if you're doing your part, it will invite the other person to communicate in a similar way. And if you want, later on in the broadcast, we can try some of these communication exercises so people can see how easy they are. They're not complex. A lot of them are just fill-in-the-blank sentences, and how they immediately create a little bit deeper conversation and more intimate conversation really automatically.
So let's do one. Let's try one.
Let's do the appreciation one. How about something I noticed about you, now that we've known each other a little bit, that I really appreciate is you're extremely thorough. This is the only interview where I'll travel hours to get to, because you read the books, you have the questions, you have great questions. It's stimulating for me. And not only are you really thorough, but you also have a really big heart. And it's a nice combination. Not many people have that combination of, like, impeccability and big heart. And so I just, you know, any opportunity I get to talk to you is like, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you. And now it's true. It's true. I want to say back to you, because, and it's easy, too. Uh-huh. What I appreciate about you, Jonathan, is your presence. When you arrive, you arrive. I feel you totally here. I don't feel that you're distracted with other things. I just feel your presence with me as complete and thorough as possible. And that just makes people around you, it makes me around you want to shine. Because you're shining a spotlight and enveloping me in this light of your being. So thank you.
That feels good. You know, and we need more of that type of communication where you have a moment of connection or a moment where your heart is pierced. And there's ways of doing that. The technology does exist. But we have all these, I call them WMDs, not weapons of mass destruction, but widgets of mass distraction, that keep us from the depth of connection that we're really looking for. You know, and 1,000 Facebook friends does not really equal one really good friend, like the person who is there for you. So we need these little helpers that move us in the right direction towards intimacy, towards understanding, towards empathy, because that's what's really, really feeds our heart.
That reminds me of an exercise that you talk about in the book. And it was so surprising to me. I was like, oh my gosh. And let me see if I can cue you in so you can talk about it. It's where you have two people coming to you, and you've been able to tell one of the persons that when the other person is speaking, you've instructed that second person to be very distracted,
to be
looking at their cell phone or flipping their pen or looking out the window or something.
Right.
And can you describe that and describe the aftermath of that exercise?
Yeah. Well, I do this in my communication workshops. I have people pair up and one talks about what they're excited about in their life. And the other partner has secretly been given this instruction: listen intensely for 15 seconds, then become increasingly distracted. So they all do this, a room full of people. And within about a minute, you know, everybody's playing with their pens or this and that. And the people who are trying to talk usually get like incredibly aggravated, or they just stop talking, because it really takes two people to have a connection. And right now with the smartphones and the distractions and everything, a lot of times one person just isn't there. But what people realize is that we're all really sensitive to distractions. You know, if I'm looking at my watch while you're talking, I'm basically saying, oh, I'm kind of bored. You know, or if I pick up the phone, I'm saying, whoever's calling me is more important than you.
So let's talk a little more about that in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Jonathan Robinson. He's the author of More Love, Less Conflict, A Communication Playbook for Couples. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide.